year. You can see that beautiful. Brother Anthony has seen this last month. Yeah, waterfalls, you know, very rapid, you know, rapid river, fast flowing water. And see the next one. So this was taken in February. See the falls, the water falling there, it's frozen. And the river, fast flowing river, frozen. And that's cold. When we go out tonight, go to our car, we don't need the shovel to remove the snow. And I have my iPod, and see that, you know, I have a world map, the selected cities there, temperature, you know, and the time. You can see in like Canada, Montreal, Quebec, they have minus 20 in winter, minus 30 sometimes. And we have, when I told them, I have friends there, I told them, oh, how's your winter there? Oh, we have minus 7 here. Oh, minus 7, that's spring here. So, praise the Lord, we have good weather. No, our winter is not as cold as in Canada or in the USA. Praise the Lord. So the apostle has given us topic to speak to you tonight. And I trust that, you know, the Lord will be with us, because I'm only an usher here. I can do nothing. I'm not a good speaker. You know that. And but we have the Word of God, because what I speak to you tonight is from the Bible. It's not from me. And we know the Word of God is God's Word. Amen. It's from the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay. Speak to you. The topic we're given is the parable of the lost son. So lost son in Luke chapter 15. We can find in Luke chapter 15, if you could turn your Bible to Luke chapter 15. Alright. Luke chapter 15 is a parable of the lost. Okay, Luke chapter 15, verse 11. It says, and he said, this was Jesus speaking, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And he divided them to his living. Amen. I'd like to bring you to this one. To our present day living. You know, a family with a father. Obviously, there's a mother here, but did not tell us in the Bible. You know, a son asking for inheritance while the father is still alive. You can see this one, if my son will ask me in his inheritance, well, how could I give my inheritance? I'm still living. I'm the only one I have is my house. I cannot. I'm still alive and living, you know. And or maybe the car. Oh, I'm still driving it. So actually, I have nothing to give. You see? So we can see this one. This family, rich, from a rich family, we can obviously very rich family. I can give my old underwear. You can have them, but you know. But obviously, he would not accept them. You see, so this one is a family, rich man. So we can see the young man that's asking for that inheritance would have good education. Probably went to, you know, private school. You know. Because they're rich, right? And would have been maybe educated, you know? We can go anywhere around the world. You can go anywhere and you could find a job. And in verse 13, and not many days after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And verse 14, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty, mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Well, he thinks, all right, isn't it? It's really hard, you know. If you leave the house, you'd be on your own, especially, you know, you're living away. But this one here, it was mentioned here, a far country. He went to a far country. This could not be, you know, a place where we travel, you know, somewhere in America or Europe. Nowadays, Australians go to Europe when they would like, you know, those who are highly educated Australians. They go to America or Europe because they have a lot of money there. But this far distance country, it may not be just love from our heart, you know, a distance away from the Father, right? We distance away ourselves from God, you know? So in the parable, in Luke chapter 15, there are two other parables here that we can find. First is the parable of the lost sheep, which is early from verse 4 to verse 7. The shepherd leave the 99 sheep to find the one lost sheep. Right? We do that probably, isn't it? If you have sheep, that's a common thing. We find the one that's lost. And when he had found it, he laid on his shoulder, you know, grab it on the shoulder. Bring it home. Rejoicing, very happy, calling his neighbors and friends and rejoice with them. So see here, we see the shepherd seeking one sheep out of 100. And the second parable, the parable of the lost coin. We know this story. The woman turned around the house, you know, shipped all the furniture and just to find that one lost coin. And when she has found it, called his friends, neighbors, you know, and they are happy, you know, rejoice, praise the Lord. But in the parable of the lost son, we see the father long for the lost son. We see it long. He long for it. That's like we sing the song, we long, you know. The father, our father long for us, you know. You know, when our son, my children, they move out our house, you know, in December, and we long for them. You know, when they come visit us, we're happy. And I think that's natural for parents, you know. Even though we are happy for them to move, but we long for them with their company. Yeah, that's true. And this, in the parable of the lost son, the same. Because when the father, so when the lost son came back, she ran. We saw from this enough and hugged. And that we can see that he longed for the lost son. But what we did not see here, we did not see the father did not leave the old son to look for the young son, right? I wonder why. Does it mean the father does not care for the lost son? Well, if we are in this home friendship group, we go around, what do you think? Too many for us to go around. Praise the Lord. But one thing we know, God cares about every one of us. He wants all to be saved. That's one thing we know. God loves everyone. Well, it was mentioned this morning, you know, there's free will. You know, and there's a pattern in the Bible when you know, in the Israel, nation of Israel, when they, you know, when before the destruction comes, there's a message to be given to the nations or to the people. And there is a pattern in the Bible. We did not know whether the father sent someone to his son. Maybe, but there is a free will. So when we, with few backslide, few move away from God, no, it's your free will to return to the father. The pastor or the father will not grab you and bring you back to church. No, it's up to you. It's up to us to return to church, to return to the Father. And it's a blessing, just a free will. It's a blessing. You know, we are not forced to come here. Is there anyone here who is forced to come to church tonight? God bless you. I did not see you. Anyway, we come here because from our own free will. Maybe the little children, you know, because they are still children. But those adults, no, we come here from our own free will. Okay, even we did not care about the cold. You know, I admire the most are those people that come to church on Sunday night in winter, raining, windy, with little kids. You know, they are those people that's really faithful. And God would bless them because the promises in the Bible, you know, the promises in the Bible from Abraham to Isaac, Jacob, you know, King David, all the promises, you know, that God will bless them. All the promises, you know, the kingdom, you know, good life, you know, and eventually salvation will be with them if they obey the Lord, obey the commandments of the Lord. You know, and those who come here, you know, just to come here, showing your faithfulness, and appreciated that. Give yourself a clap, you know, for coming here tonight. Praise the Lord. And we thank God. And it's not because of us. It's because the Lord give us strength. Amen. What separates us from God? So the prodigal son separate himself from God. What separates us from God? Okay. Does not start with sin. Actually, the sin is the product of our separation from God. It starts with lack of prayer, lack of reading the word, lack of fellowship, lack of involvement. You know the four pillars in our church? If you lack one of them, then you start to separate away from God. And then you cause the sin. So sin separates us from God. All right. In Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2, it says, in Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, it says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities," this is sin, "your sins have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." God forbid that he hid himself from us. Amen. Lesson point number one. This is like home friendship group. In our home friendship group, if we are about 10, we have plenty. There's a revival in our group. Now we are about, my count is we are about 50. So this is plenty. Amen. Lesson point number one. When we separate ourselves from God, life becomes difficult. This is true. Life becomes difficult. Praise the Lord. Just use my hand. Money does not last forever. You know, the young son found out. Money does not last forever. The prodigal son knew it. In Luke chapter 15, verse 14, it says, "When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want." So life away from the Father is not as he expected. And you know, because we are on our own. Now the promise of God, you know, "I will be with you for until the end of the world," there are promises to those with the Lord, to those who are faithful with the Lord, those who remain faithful. Lesson point number two, when we separate ourselves from God, we start to lose our battles in life, You know, this is mentioned, actually, I'm very glad, actually, brother, Jason mentioned about battles, you know, the history of Israel. They fight. They enter the land of Canaan. They enter the promised land, and they fight. God's instruction to them was to drive away all the people there. And driving away the people involves like killing, which is very, you know, which is really, in our time now, probably Israel will probably be condemned by United Nations or, you know, by other countries. But that's what says in the Bible. When in verse 15, when he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine. So this is the battle. The battle of the prodigal son was look for job. He was educated from private school, you know, a good job. Maybe he had a university degree. And what he could find was feeding pigs. You know, have you been to a piggery?
I read swine many years ago.
Yeah. You know, if you just go near a piggery, just maybe 100 meters away, you will know you're near a piggery. The smell is not nice. Right? And he was there among the pigs. Right? See the battle. He lost the battle. He could not find a job. You know, even though he got a good, you know, education. So the job you have is a blessing. Whatever job you have, it's a blessing. You are in school, that's a blessing that you are still in school. Many children around the world could not go to school because they're too far or too poor to go to school. We have jobs, you know, thank God. You know, Monday, we hear a lot of, you know, if you are at work on Monday, oh, work again, Monday again. They don't like to be at work. But thank God it's Monday, you are at work because that's a blessing. You have the blessing of God if you have work. Amen. So when they enter the nation of Israel, the country, you know, when they enter the promised land, the first battle they face was the battle of Jericho. And we know the story, how easy they defeated Jericho. You know, they surrounded Jericho, you know, seven times. And Jericho was a high-walled city. And they defeated it easily because the Lord fought the battle for them. They have the victory. Amen. And the second country to be defeated was the country of Ai, you know, Ai. And this time, because of the wind over Jericho, they sent only a number of, you know, not all army. And that Israel was chased away by the soldiers of Ai. And they questioned themselves. Joshua questioned God, why? I thought you gave us this, you know, this land. Why are we losing the battle? So God spoke to Joshua, and they found out that there's sin in the nation of Israel. It's the nation of Achan. You remember Achan? You hid something in the tent. Because of that sin, they lost the battle. So they get rid of Achan, and God, you know, they stone Achan and his family. The children, you know, and the sons and daughters, they stone to death. And after that, they eliminating sin in Israel, and they conquered Ai again easily because of sin. That's a lesson for us. You know, if we have sin, you know, we're battling in life, you know, battle against addictions, you know, battling in life, you know, battling our financial situation. We battle against depression. We battle against, you know, generally in life, you know, if we have sins, we'll find it's very difficult to win over those, you know. But if we are faithful, if we have no sins, you know, come to God, repent before you sin, you find life will be much easier. Amen. Because that was the promise from Abraham. You know, Abraham, because of the name of Jesus, he becomes our father too, spiritually. Even though we don't have no big nose, not like the Jews, but we are the children of Abraham because of the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lesson point number three. Change before you have to. Change before you have to. You know, the prodigal son, he only changed because he got to the bottom, you know, the lowest of the lowest, you know. You know, a Jew, they don't touch pig because dirty, you know, dirty animal. You know, they don't eat pork, obviously. And he just come into his senses because he has to. You know, and I pray now we don't have to get into that point. I pray that every one of us here come to realize our mistake, our sins, before we get to that point. You know, because many people, like the drug addicts, some of them, you know, they could not get out anymore, you know, and they get killed. Did not have a chance anymore, or maybe they had a chance, but they failed to choose, you know, the way of God. Amen. In Luke chapter 15, verse 17, it says, "And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger.'" In the Living Bible version, it says, when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired servants' men have food enough to spare. And here I am, dying of hunger." Don't let harsh, difficult circumstances in life come to you before realizing that you need God. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. The story of the prodigal son is a beautiful end because he returned to his father, and his father is happy to see him. And in Luke 15 verse 20, it says there, "He arose and came to his father, but he was yet a great way off. His father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." And we are always, we are always welcome to God. We are always welcome to return to God. If we distance ourselves from God, he is always there. He is longing for us, longing to wait and to return to him. Whatever situation you are in, no matter how heavy your burden is, no matter how deep your sin is, we can go back, or you can go back to God. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. This invitation of Jesus, he says in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and lean on me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's our God. Amen. Hallelujah. He is there. He is longing. He longs for our return to him. He longs for our fellowship. He longs for our prayer. He longs for us to communicate to him through the reading of the word. He just wants us. He just so loves us, you know, just like the father and son, you know, the father and son relationship at home, you know, that they, the father so much, you know, that he gave, you know, the scripture mentioned by Brother Jason this morning, he gave his all. He gave his life, you know, that we might have everlasting life. Amen. That's our Lord. And I'll close in Psalm 103, verse 8. Psalm 103, verse 8 to 13. "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, or he will not bear grudges, neither will keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgression from us. Like as a father pity his children, so the Lord pity them that fear him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I now call for Brother Sam. Sorry, Brother Sam. I think I got over. Brother Sam has been coming to our church for many years now, and he's a good man. Praise
Thank
the
you.
Lord.
Thank you very much. I think he's preached all the time, so... I don't know. I will do about 15 minutes. I just try to be rushed through and finish. I thank the pastor for this opportunity to just speak this word. When I received an email from the pastor, I said, "Oh, what do you want us to speak about?" And then he sent back and said, prodigal son. And so I'm building on what he's done, but I'm going to speak on the part two of that message. So it's the same message, part two. And I'm speaking about the elder son. He's spoken about the one who went away. I'm speaking about the one who remained home. And both of these people, as we find out, they were actually both of them prodigal. On that, one went away and one remained. The prodigal son who left the house wasted his inheritance. The other prodigal son stayed in the house and wasted his inheritance. Okay? That's what we want to establish. One prodigal son traveled far from the father's house. The other prodigal son traveled far from the father's heart. Okay? So both of them were prodigal sons, just different circumstances. Let's read Luke chapter 15, verse 25-32. That's where we'll start. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and their father has killed the fatted calf because he has received him safe and sound. And he was angry. I would not come in. Therefore, and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, this many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandments, and yet thou have never given me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son was come, which has devoured their living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is theirs. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for their brother was dead and now is alive again, and was lost and is found. Now when we meet this young man, right from the onset, he is in the field. He's actually a perfect young man that anybody would ever want to have. He's a son who is working. He's in the field doing a good job when we meet him. In fact, when I was growing up as a young man, I was like this young man. I was like this young man. I was my mommy's son, not my daddy's, my mommy's son, you know? The one the mom liked. I did everything right. In the morning I woke up, I went to the garden, did some gardening. I came back, I looked after the cattle. I went to school, and so I was a good boy. By any standard, very good boy. When I was growing up. But then my elder brother this time around, was the opposite. He didn't want any of those things, right the opposite of what I was doing. And at the young age, he decided, I want to go and find my own life. Very young, and he left home and he went in a far country, a far town actually, not a far country, a far town, to look for a job. Not long after, he got in trouble with the law, of course, and he was jailed. And myself, as a one who remained behind, I said, look, this guy, troublesome, looking for problems, he decided to go. Good for him. Okay? I didn't have any sympathy for him. I wished he never came back home to bring more problems, because he was a problem. He was a problem. Anytime Mom did this, he did this. We planted things, he stole. We did this, he did this. So he was trouble. Say, ah, at least that burden is gone from us. We can live a happy life thereafter. But anyway, before long, he was released. And he was coming back home. Now, all I did not know all along, the heart of my mother. I did not understand the heart of my mother. I didn't know that my mother loved the boy so much. Okay? I know that my mother longed for the boy. I was just the other brother who was wishing that, oh, the burden has gone. But the mother whom I thought was close to me had a different view. And so when the boy was coming back home, my mother told me, we didn't have the fatted calf. We had chicken. Or roaster. Or roast. You know, the big. Okay. My mother told me, in Africa, we say, okay, chase that chicken. Your brother's coming back home. We want to make a meal. We want to make celebration for him. Okay? So that when he arrives here, we can eat, rejoice. He's coming back. So what do you mean? What do you mean? I have worked so hard taking care of this chicken. Okay? Now you want us to slaughter one for this guy? No way. And I go, Okay? This is not possible. But my mother told me, she rebuked me, told me, get away of me, bad spirit. That's what she said. Okay? My son was dead and now he's alive. You know how those jails look like? He could have died there. You should be happy that he's coming back home. And I learned my lesson. Of course, I took over. Okay? So that's the story of the elder brother. That's the story of the elder brother. And this lesson, I want to ask you to learn three things about the elder brother. Point number one. Relationship with the father, or lack of it. Okay? If we read verse 22 to 26, it says, but the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fattened calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard the music and dancing. And he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. Brother Rahul has said this must have been a very rich family, okay? If my son asked me for inheritance, I don't have anything to give him. But this was a rich family. So we see here, the father actually wanted to give an offer. That's what I've read is basically redemption. It captures redemption of this young man. Okay? Redemption and restoration of this lost young man. But picture this. This must have been a whole day's event. Because he came in the morning. I assume he came in the morning. And by that time, the older brother was not nowhere to be seen. The first thing the father spoke to the servant. Let me ask you. If your lost son comes back home, who will you speak to first? Okay? I suspect you'll speak to the other remaining son, isn't it? And say, our son is coming back. Okay? Let's prepare something, isn't it? When my brother was coming back home, my mother spoke to me first. But in this story, the father speaks to the servants. Okay? He speaks to the servants. Why? Why did the father speak to the servant? There's a problem, isn't it? There's a problem. The first person the pastor father speaks to is the servants. Tell the servants, bring the fatted calf. Not even the son. The son doesn't appear in the picture. What does it mean? It just means the father and the son's relationship was far off. Okay? Although he was at home, although he was working for the father, although he was working for the doing things that he was doing work for the father, but actually he didn't have a relationship with the father. With the father. The father had a relationship with the servants who served him. Okay? And today, as church, okay, what is your relationship with God? Okay? Are you just busy, 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 God's work, busy, busy? Think that you're doing God's work. Do you have a personal relationship with God? Do you have that touch with God? Okay? Are you a servant that the Father will speak to you, where the Father will call on you? So the Father here actually speaks to the servant first. But see, they come in the morning, and then this guy arrives home. The Father sends for a robe. I can assume if I was staying in my place in Kres, I'll be rushing to Belcon to buy a new robe. A robe is bought, rings are brought, a calf is slaughtered, celebration is set up, neighbors are called, people come, the whole day is going on. No, the older son does not know what is happening. Until later in the evening when people are drunk and they're having merry and just saying, oh, happy day, happy day. The guy appears at the gate. And he's surprised. What's going on here? Okay? What's going on in this family? He was in the family. He was working for the family, but he did not even understand what was going on there, isn't it? And you could be in the church today. You could be busy here. You could be doing many things. But actually, you're not getting it. Okay? Actually, you're not getting it. Okay? We need to come to the cross. We need to submit ourselves to God. First and foremost, our relationship with God. Okay? Then the service comes. The service should be as a result of our relationship with Jesus. Okay? We should pour our hearts to Jesus. We should open our hearts to God. We should let, oh God. Sometimes I pray and I say, oh, am I really sure I'm talking to God? Okay? Okay, I really want you to be part of my life. I really want you. And that's what's very important. So the problem with the older son, he did not have a relationship with the Father. He was just as lost as the young son. And I pray that all of us will have that relationship. Point number two that I want to bring up is, before I go to point number two, I'll just read a scripture. John 15, 5 to 6. Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abides in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Okay? So that is the position. We should be able to abide in God first and foremost, and then we can bear more fruits. Lesson number two that I want us to learn from this case is that the older brother represented the Pharisee. Okay? The older brother represented the Pharisee. If you read verse 29 and 30, the older brother says, and he answering said to his father, lo, this many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never giveth me a kid that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which has devoured thy living with the harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. Okay? Although he's a busy person, but you see, he's a self-important, okay? He's actually a Pharisee. He does not see anything wrong with him, okay? Everybody else around him is wrong. He's only focused on himself, okay? And he's only seeing a mistake in the other person, okay? The Pharisees and scribes looked good men, but there was a problem within their hearts, okay? So you can see, I don't think even he knew that he had a problem with his father's relationship. Just like me. I didn't know that I had a problem with my mother's. I didn't know that. I always believed I had a relationship with my mother. I always believed I was doing the right thing. He always believed he was doing the right thing. He always believed he had a relationship with the father, but actually he did not have a relationship with the father. He looked good to men, but inside he had a problem. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 6, then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisee and of the Sadducees, okay? The doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And sometimes you sit in church like this, and a message like this is being preached, and you bounce it back, okay? When it hits you, you bounce it back and say, oh, I wish my wife was here, okay? I wish my wife would listen to this one. Or I wish my son, would just raise up his hand. Or I wish my daughter would be listening to this. Or my husband, okay? That is what we are saying. The message is not for them. The message is for you, okay? The message is not for anybody else. The message is right for you. God will speak to them their own message. When you hear the message, you take it in the way it is. Don't bounce off the message. Take it in. Receive it. Let it bless you. Okay? Let them who do the rest by themselves, but the message is for you. Don't bounce it back to anybody else. Okay? And maybe you're here and you're consumed with the outward appearance. Okay? You're always sensitive. You don't know what people will say about you. You don't know what people will think about you. You don't know. It's all consuming your mind. And it's not very bad to be consumed by that. In fact, you should be able to make sure you are appearing well, you are presentable, you are sharp, okay? When I go for the interviews for young people, I make sure I'm very sharp. I put on my tie, I rehearse my things, and okay, I take a cup of coffee, and I'm just sharp with my points. Very important, okay? But in this case, what you're saying, before you do that, let that come from the inside. Let the inside be clean first, then you can automatically do the good work, okay? So the relationship with God will be the first thing first, and then you can present yourself well. But if only you're presenting yourself outwardly, but inside you're hurting, then there's a problem, okay? Then there's a problem. So let's reach out to God. And finally, I'm just trying to rush through. Finally, third lesson is, how did the Father respond? The Father's petition. The Father's petition. And Luke 15, 28 and 32 says, and he was angry. I will not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is there. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this their brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Okay? So we can see the father's response. As my brother said, the father's response was always of love. The father comes out and comforts him. Okay? He comforts him. He begs him. Okay? He encourages him. See? He praises him. Says, even you have always been with me. Even though they have been very much, he has just been busy with his own work, but the father says, you have always been with me. The father praises him. Okay? The father is telling him, I value you and your relationship together more than I value your works. Okay? That's what the father is telling me. I value you and your relationship with me more than I value your work. Okay? Please don't mistake me. I'm not trying to say works are bad, but I'm saying relationship with God first, then work, follow. Okay? The father tells his boy that it was necessary that they should have celebration. To the father, the return of the lost son was cause for celebration. He was lost and now is found. Was dead and now is alive. Okay? So, when you look at that picture, look at this chapter. Everyone is happy. The boy is happy. The servants are happy. The shepherd is happy. The women are happy. The neighbors are happy. The lost son is happy. Who is only miserable? Okay? The only person who is miserable is the elder brother. Okay? The one in the house. And why is he miserable? And he's miserable because he refuses to be happy. You can be in the house of the Lord. You can be sitting here and everybody's happy. Everybody comes and rejoices. People are getting filled with the Holy Spirit. People are rejoicing. People are jumping. People are getting filled. And you're wondering, what is all this madness? What's going on here? Okay? What's happening? Okay? You are the owner who is sad. I pray that when you come to the house of the Lord, all of us, we shall do what? We shall receive it, isn't it? All of us, we shall rejoice in the presence of God. All of us, we shall be able to be blessed together. And all of us shall release ourselves. Okay? With God, it's only releasing yourself. Open your heart. Be free. Okay? Rejoice. When people are laughing, laugh with them. When people are beginning to bless, get blessed with them. When people are praying, pray with them. Okay? That's the idea. Be happy with everybody that's around you. Rejoice, and the Lord is going to touch you in a very, very special way. So I will stop there for now. And I'll open this altar for 5 minutes if you want to come and just pray and just call upon God as we close up this service. That'll be all right. And then we can pray and go home. We stand up then as we close up. You can pray from where you are, or you can come and kneel down here, or you can just call upon the name of the Lord wherever, where you wish, as we close up this service for today. Make a decision, Sangia.